Welcome to the How We Roll Radio Theater. Join us in our ragtag group of adventurers, ranging from a big game hunter to a runaway bride. So tonight, keep the Ford Park, skip the jazz bar, forget about the depression, and crack open a decanter. And if you'd like to learn more about our boys, check out their Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Reddit, Twitch, and Patreon, whatever those words mean.
Hello, and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast, the Pulp Cthulhu edition. My name is Joe, and I am not the keeper tonight. I am thoroughly enjoying releasing those reins of being a player. So we're going to do a very, very quick recap of who's playing and who we all are. We're going to reintroduce our fabulous keeper. We've got a quick recap for you, and then we're going to jump back in with last week's cliffhanger. So I'm playing Charles Blackstone. I'm a 61-year-old gambler, pilot, and general good for nothing. Dave.
Hey, I'm Dave. This evening I am, as once again, reprising the role of the great Bartholomew Ormond. How to describe such a man of great character, wisdom, and beauty? I shan't attempt it. Next.
Hey, I'm Current. I'm playing Ethan, the South African big game hunter. I've somehow recently developed an obsession with snakes, usually because I found the body of the captain. I took off his skin.
Like you do.
Now I'm trying to track a kodo, or what I think is a kodo dragon anyway.
And last player is Lisa.
Hello, I'm Lisa, and I'm playing Camilla Ravenswood. She is a 27-year-old lady and a dreamer at heart, and she's out away from Newport and New York City for some adventure in Bolivia, and has gotten a lot more than she bargained for, which is kind of all right with her, because she is a bit of a spitfire, and she is running away from a very, very oppressive suitor in New York City, and her accent's going to change until I figure out what it is.
And our fabulous keeper needs no introduction. We have the wonderful Scott Dorwood.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. Yes, I'm Scott. I co-wrote this campaign along with my good friends Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson. And yes, it's been an absolute blast running it again so far. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the hell you guys do next.
So before we jump right back with the story, we are lucky enough to have the one and only Ethan Vandermeer right here in the studio, and he's going to tell us about last week's episode.
So there I was with my friends. We were going through the Bolivian jungle, and we kind of came across this village or this town that we were supposed to deliver the humanitarian aid, and it turns out everything was clear. We all went in, and our group kind of divided because we'd left the supplies behind. So it was Charles and Camilla who were going to try and talk to some of the natives. And when myself and Bart went back to try and get the supplies, we found the remains of the donkeys that we had tied up across the way from the supplies. I couldn't help it. It just hit me. I had to hunt whatever this was, because I've never seen anything quite like it. So I just ran for it. And I do feel a bit bad because I've kind of left Bart behind.
So I think now that we've had three sessions under our belt, it's time that you got a bit of luck back, particularly because you've been burning through it. So the way Luck Refresh works in this is that you make a luck roll. This you actually want to fail. So each one of you make a luck roll. Let me know whether or not you pass.
Oh, for fuck's sake. 22 versus 39.
Is failing good?
Failing is what you want.
Then I failed either way, but I definitely failed. I rolled a 73 against 69.
Mm-hmm. 69 against 40.
Okay. How about you, Lisa?
I didn't lose any luck.
You still get a refresh. I mean, your luck can go above what it started out as.
Oh, hey, that's awesome. Let's do that.
Right, so we stick her on the front line more.
I'm the new kid. That's a 39.
Okay, so anyone who passed their luck roll, who rolled equal to or under what their existing luck is, gets a d10 plus 5 points of luck.
What if you happen to have the lucky feat?
If you have the lucky feat, then you get to roll a bonus die. Actually, you might want to check that, Joe.
So for those of us who succeeded, it's 1d10 plus 5.
If you rolled over your current luck, you get 2d10 plus 10 points of luck.
Oh, hey. So 2d10 plus 10, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Just wow.
So it's better if you succeed in the roll?
It's better if you fail.
So what do you get if you fail?
If you fail, you get 2d10 plus 10.
2
if you succeed,
d10
you get...
plus 10.
Yeah. If you succeed... Yes, well, I mean, the idea is that as your luck gets lower, the chances of it increasing by more increase.
Okay, so if you succeed, you only get 1d10 plus 5. And just to confirm, the lucky feat gives you an extra 1d10 luck, which is pretty cool. Okay, so I got back 15.
Good.
Takes me up to 54.
Okay, I got back 18, which takes me up to 85.
I got plus 25, which takes me up to 65.
I think I did this right. I got plus 7, so I'm now up to 72.
Okay. And just as a reminder, it's always worth, if you can, keeping 30 points of luck, because those 30 points of luck can make all the difference between life and death for you. If at any stage your character is faced with certain death, you can spend all your luck to survive, but only if you have at least 30 points of luck.
So if Cthulhu himself smites you and you have 30 luck, you will survive.
Yeah. Exactly.
You will be totally and completely irredeemably insane.
but you'll be healthy with it.
Insane. Neener, neener, neener.
But you'll have your health.
Until he strikes again. You'll be all right.
It's a mitzvah.
Okay.
Speaking of needing 30 luck to survive, how's Cohen's character doing?
Yeah.
So, when we last saw Ethan, he had gone wandering off into the jungle in pursuit of whatever it was that had killed the donkeys. He had decided that it was better for stealth if he doused his lantern. So he traced the sounds of this thing that was devouring a haunch of one of the donkeys. He crept up to it in the dark, and he has attempted to befriend it. He has got down on his hands and knees. He has put his hands and rubbed the scaly snout of whatever this is, and has felt its forked tongue flickering over his face. What do you do?
I believe there is a bit of ear on my ear.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to grab the bit of ear on my ear, and I'm going to feed it.
Oh yeah, there you go. And yeah, it scoffs the ear down greedily.
And I'm going to see if it sort of follows me around a little bit. I'm going to like take a step back and see if it's staying close to me.
Oh yeah, as you do that, it kind of comes up and rubs its snout up against you, rubs it against your stomach.
I'm going to try and light my lantern up again.
Okay, and what you see is this creature, the likes of which you have never seen before. It is covered in scales, and there is something quite serpentine looking about it. There's something also that looks like maybe a large lizard or a crocodile. But at the same time, the build of it is probably closer to a large dog. It looks like it's designed for running. Its legs look more like dog's legs, maybe that of a large Rottweiler, but just covered in scales. Its feet are sort of a cross between, the pads of a large dog, but with claws, these sort of large lizard-like or crocodile-like claws coming out. It's got two beady little eyes. It's got a huge extended jaw full of huge teeth, and this flickering tongue that comes out, these two reddish looking eyes glinting in the lantern as it comes up and snuffles again around you. Let's have a sanity roll.
I'm going to love this, right? So I've rolled 40 against my 34, so that's a fail.
Okay, so you lose 1d4, Sam.
I got a 2, so I've lost 2.
Okay, so, I mean, for a moment, you do instinctively recoil. I mean, there's a part of your mind, the little rational part that is just silently screaming in the back of your head, that knows that this creature should not exist in nature. Yeah, this is an abomination. This is unnatural. This is something mm-hmm. that has been created to hunt, to destroy, is antithetical to everything that is good and right and human in this world. On the other hand, it seems to like you.
I'm going to get down on one knee and I'm going to put my hand out and sort of pet it and go, I think I'm going to name you Greg. You strike me as a Greg. Yes. Come, Greg, let's go back to the camp.
So, yeah, I mean, as you say, that Greg's tongue flickers over your face.
Greg's the best. All right, Greg. And I'm going to just keep walking, and I'm going to consistently be looking back to be like, is he still following?
Oh, he is. Yeah, absolutely.
We are buddies now. Greg is awesome.
He pauses for a moment to pick up the length of donkey intestines that he was chowing down on, and you know, they're now dragging along behind him like gory bunting.
Road snacks.
Amazing. I have a feeling that like Bart and Camilla are going to be like, oh, let me study it. I'm going to be like, back off. Greg is sensitive.
So just to clarify, because you do have the animal companion feat, do you want to adopt Greg as your animal companion?
Yes.
Okay. I thought this was the case, but it's just worth clarifying at this stage.
So where do I put that on my character sheet?
Just I think under possessions. Just
no one's going to forget that.
No.
It's in the notes already. I've already put it in the notes.
Greg. What does Greg look like?
Greg is like a armored dog. Scales.
Have you seen Stranger Things at Series T?
It totally is a Stranger Things
I haven't
dog.
Seen Stranger Things.
Dude.
only, kind of like a cross between that and a crocodile.
Okay, googling Stranger Things dogs.
Well, let's then cut back to what Bart was doing. So Bart had he'd almost managed to get lost in the forest, but he did wander off the path a bit. But he found himself at the ford. He saw what looks like the remains of a battle on the other side of the river, but then making his way back towards the camp, he heard a conversation that was going on with some figures in the dark ahead of him, and he was fairly convinced that the language they were speaking in bore some resemblance to the strange sigils he'd written down earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's Bart doing?
How close am I to the aid station?
You're probably a couple of hundred yards away.
And are these people heading towards the aid station or patrol?
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. In that case, I am going to crouch down, do nothing, and say nothing, and let them carry on.
Okay. Then that's what they do. So, meanwhile, back at the aid camp, you've managed to piss off the one villager who you've met so far, but you've befriended at least a couple of the medical aid workers. You were, I think, going to go around and see whether you could talk to any of the patients who were there.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. A couple of them are definitely unconscious, either because... they're in comas or because they've been given so much morphine that they're out of it. There are people who've suffered heavy burns. There are some who've lost limbs. You do find one young girl, and she's barely more than a child, who is conscious. I mean, you can tell that she's been quite badly injured, and she's lost the lower part of her left leg. But she seems to be taking something of an interest in these, you know, these two new strangers who are wandering around the camp.
I'd like to go up to her, and I've got Mary on my shoulder, so I want to kind of let Mary kind of bounce off my shoulder and onto her bed, and maybe even offer her a piece of fruit, so she can either have it herself or you know feed part to Mary, and I'll kind of give her a little hello.
Okay, well, give me a charm roll then, okay. to see whether you can bond with her.
That's a 34 roll on my 80 charm.
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely then. I mean, she sort of giggles happily and starts feeding bits of fruit to Mary.
Hello. Camilla. My name is Camilla. Do you speak any English?
She just looks at you incomprehendingly.
I'll point at myself, Camilla, and I'll point at the monkey, Mary.
Oh, and you're going to make me think of a name for her, aren't you? Give me a second. Hang on.
Greg. Sorry, no.
I'm just going to smooth her hair, you know, and like check her sheets and make sure and kind of check her. And do a real check, a real like, is she okay and is she all right? And a real... I'm not faking that. I really want
to... Oh, then give me either a medicine or a first aid roll to...
First aid is... Oh, it's not good. Oh, good! It's a 3 against I'm so relieved. Against my 50.
Okay, wow. Then, you're fairly certain that she's been given, you know, the best aid that she can get, that, you know, the surgery that's been conducted on her was, you know, was done successfully, and she's free of infection and stuff like that. As you're sort of pointing, you know, at each other and so on, you get the impression that, you know, at least to the workers in the camp, she's known as Eleonora.
That's a beautiful name, Eleonora.
She smiles and feeds another bit of fruit to Mary.
Oh, no English. Do you speak Spanish?
You notice that she looked completely blankly at Charles when he tried speaking to her.
And I'm going to point to her and point to my eyes and point to her and say, like, have you seen... snakes. I'm going to make a little snake motion with my hand. Like bat, like fangy snakes. Like pantomiming.
Yeah, I mean, she joins in the pantomime and she smiles and nods. She points outside and then she points, you know, by the side of her bed. You can see there's a crutch there.
Do you think she got bitten by one of these snakes? Is that how you got hurt? Is that what happened to your leg?
I'll point to her. Did you get, like, bitten hand motions of, like, bite by a snake? Or no, a soldier, like, no. Gun, finger guns away from her, like, soldier?
And she starts nodding when you do that, yeah.
I'll pat her hand, like, I understand. I understand. Soldiers.
Speaking of soldiers, I'm a little worried that we might be outstaying our welcome. I'm just going to kind of go to the tent and just peek out through the door and see if there's any sign of Oblivion soldiers.
Then, I mean, you peek outside. I mean, it's dark at this stage, but they've, you know, there's a few lights that have been lit. There's a big campfire going, a few electrical lights that are being run by generators. You can see over on the other side of the camp where there's the burnt out buildings from the villages, from the village, there is a small group of Bolivian soldiers that are heading over towards those buildings.
Camilla, we might need to make a swift exit.
Let's get going.
Let's go find that doctor, see if she's got somewhere maybe we can, not so much hide out, but maybe that's be a bit more discreet.
Okay, I'm going to pat her hand, and I'm going to wave goodbye, and I'm going to put my finger to my lips like, shh. And then I wink at her and like wave.
Oh, she, shh. And giggles.
Yeah, and I'll leave Mary with her.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Be nice, Mary.
Mary, you know, makes that sort of almost laughing sound that she makes sometimes, which...
Yeah, yeah, stealing.
Yeah. You're never quite sure whether she means that in the quite the way that humans laugh. Yeah, but...
yeah. It's more of a... Sometimes I feel like it's more of a kiss-off than an agreement. But that's okay, because that's Mary. Let's go.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, she's over by the campfire now, and she, you know, putting stuff in the cooking pot, and helping, you know, a couple of the volunteers there get some food ready.
I'll definitely help with that. Dr. Salvatorelli, are all of your patients from a soldier attack, or from things out in the jungle?
Some of them are real. They've got diseases, but most of the people here are people who've been caught up in the fighting.
Horrible. What a horrible mess. Any injuries you can't explain?
Well, I mean, there was one of the men who, you know, he died, I'm afraid, but he did say something about being bitten by some creature out in the forest. I mean, the way he described it, I don't know. It sounded like some kind of large lizard. But he got a terrible infection, you know, from the bite. I mean, the bite was bad enough on its own, but the infection he got afterwards, it just ravaged his system, and he died horribly.
No anti-venom. Yeah, enter Greg. good to know. Good to know. All right. And I'll just keep helping and, like, look at Charles, like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And just help her with dinner.
Well, so Bart, now that, you know, these soldiers have got into the camp, what are you doing?
Suppose I'm going to try and very sort of unobtrusively, but not sneaking. So just very much sort of confidently, you know, acting like I should be where I am, not paying attention to anything else, just sort of traipsing across camp sort of openly, but not as quietly as I can. I'm going to head towards where we first met Dr.
Salvatorelli.
Gomez, or Salvatorelli. Oh, Gomez, right. Yeah, Gomez. Well, you know, anyone in the camp. I'm just going to head into the camp now that the soldier seems to be bedding down.
Sure.
I can't sneak for shit, so I'm going to just sort of brazen it out.
Then give me a luck roll just to see whether any hostiles observe you as you're doing this.
So against 85, I roll a 59.
Nice.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, they're busy doing whatever it is they're doing.
Just another gringo. Sorry. Cut that out.
So you wander through the camp. You know, they're completely oblivious to you. And if you wanted to meet up with Charles and Camilla at this stage?
That is my intent.
So I'm not entirely sure what we need to do tonight. Beyond dealing with these soldiers, I think maybe lay low today and then head off into the jungle tomorrow, see what we can find.
Sort of open up my backpack and show Charles the dynamite on top. And say, well, dealing with them wouldn't be all that difficult if you want to take the direct approach.
I don't know when to... I feel guilty about sneaking up on a bunch of guys just settling down for the night and blowing them up with dynamite. I was a soldier way back when, and it's not something I'd like to do.
Did you attack aid workers and then persecute an entire settlement?
Also, they were snake people. I'm just throwing that out there.
And yeah, they were acting on the lead of that snaky master chappy. I'd blow one of them up, but I don't feel comfortable just... I say, blowing up soldiers while they're asleep, it just doesn't sit right with me.
I wouldn't say let's be fair, I would do it. But I'm not very good at the you know, the sneaking, clandestine side of these things. You know, I tend to be more the, you know, reading of books and understanding of the secret lore. The important things, you know, I rely on, you know, well, people like you, Charles, for the more mundane aspect
of these
things.
If only we knew whether they were snake people or Bolivians, like... Maybe if we'd heard them speaking out in the woods at some point.
And now that you mention it.
If only that had happened in a previous episode, I would feel more keen to commit on a more dangerous course of action.
And that's it. We don't start corpsing for the rest of the campaign.
Oh my god.
Well,
I mean, it's Pulp Cthulhu. We should be leaving a trail of bodies.
Well,
if not our own, then at least the enemy.
I did hear them speaking in a highly serpentine fashion, and I don't mean that they were zigzagging back and forth in their rhetorical discussions. I mean, they actually spoke as if they were snakes.
Well, that's an entirely different matter there, Bartholomew.
So they're happy to blow them up. That's wonderful.
I like the part where Bart has come back and said nothing about what happened to poor old Ethan. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I got my dynamite. He left me. Whatever.
You are grunts. You are disposable grunts to Bart. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What did you manage to bring back? And where's Ethan?
Did you manage to bring back those eight things? You've been gone for a long time.
Yes, I'm sorry. Well, Ethan, the contemptible blackguard, left me. We arrived at the supplies, and all of the donkeys had been butchered. But apparently through some ridiculous, useless knowledge of his, he ascertained that they had not been killed by jaguars or other mundane creatures, but rather by something that, as soon as he began to sort of understand the nature of the beast that had attacked the donkeys, the uncomprehendable arse ran off into the woods, left me alone, with no way to get the supplies back. Haven't seen him since. Don't care. Hope he dies and is eaten by whatever ate the donkeys.
And I think that is the perfect time to cut over to Ethan. So, are Ethan and Greg making their way back to the camp?
And they're bonding, and I'm teaching him tricks and all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah. He's trotting on ahead of you and bouncing up and down excitedly, and you know, wandering off to explore funny new spells in the jungle. At some point he dives into the undergrowth and comes back with a large rat in his mouth and drops it at your feet.
I'm like, oh, Greg. Greg, you're the best. and we just continue on. I'm going to sort of see the village at some point, or is there something that happens in between?
No. Yeah, you make your way back to the camp unmolested.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that because we kind of got the information beforehand that at nightfalls when the soldiers come back, I'm going to assume the soldiers are there.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that we want to be hostile from the get-go. No one's told me otherwise. And I've also been told that they're in the burnt-down huts.
Yeah.
Not on the other side of the camp, not in the first aid setup. So I'm going to go straight there. I'm not even going to be looking for Charles or Bart or anybody else or Camilla. I'm just going to just go for it. And I'm going to see if I can get Greg to go into one of the huts and then see what happens. I'm going to coax him into going in.
So the rest of you, the other three of you, can I have a group luck roll off you? So whoever's got the lowest luck, make a luck roll.
That'll be me. I'm on 54.
I believe in you.
I'm not sure if I want to fail or pass. This could be fun. And I failed. 62.
Okay, so you are not paying any attention when Ethan and Greg turn up to the camp. You were looking over the other side, initially, but obviously, you know, a bit of time has passed, and whatever your next plans are, you're busy talking about those when they arrive.
Eating dinner, serving dinner, eating dinner, passing class.
Yeah, yes, So you're sitting there eating beans and rice with everyone else.
Fire and
a bit of fresh fruit. Over the other side of the camp, stuff is about to happen that you are completely oblivious to. So,
can I be like telling Bart off for like being completely unobservant? You need to look after the members of this party. You can't just go abandon them in the woods. You need to keep your eye out. You need to be looking around.
Excuse me. I think you'll find I was the one that was abandoned, not the other way around. One of us can navigate in the forest. One of us can't. The one that could track and navigate in the forest left the one whose skills primarily involve negotiating the social intricacies of Boston High Society.
The nerve of that man. Really? Well,
I'm just going to say, Bart, I didn't understand a single word you just said there other than that you weren't paying attention. That's the important thing. You've got to pay attention.
So let's cut back then to Ethan. You're just marching straight up to the huts and then telling Greg to go in.
Yeah, and I'm pointing my gun at them trying to, like, I know they're going to try to leave. Like, that comes into your tent, you're going to try to get out. And then you're going to go straight into an elephant gun. I'm aiming down my sights.
Okay. give me a luck roll.
Ooh, like this.
I really hope it's the right tent, not like the aid tent. This is why this is why we got to know this young girl beforehand, so it's really terrible to get ripped apart.
I got 80. I failed my luck roll.
Okay.
84 against 65.
Greg goes into one of the huts, and I don't know whether you were kind of expecting to hear screaming or shouting or anything like that, but he goes in there, and there's a small bit of commotion, and then you hear the sound of a whistle being blown, and there's no sound of violence, there's nothing like that going on.
Greg. No. So in this moment, I'm just sort of thinking to myself, well, shit. I may have very well lost Greg, or I don't know if we've lost him, but he's definitely not attacking who I want him to attack. The whole way over, I've been trying to train him to kill things by going kill and then like rewarding that behavior.
Yep.
Every time he kills something, I say kill, and it's like, yes, excellent, you're getting it. And I said kill at the tent, but you're not doing it. I heard a whistle, I'm like, right, fuck it, I just shoot straight into this hut, through the door with the elephant gun. It's got a big spray. It's a, like, I'm a good distance away, so I'm covering quite a bit of space. I'm just firing. Everyone in the whole encampment is going to hear this.
Okay. You're shooting even though Greg is in there, are you?
No, Greg, how tall is Greg? Where does his back go to?
I mean, Greg probably comes up to a little over your waist when he's standing up.
All right, so I'll aim just above the waist. It's fine.
with
the spray.
With the spray from an elephant gun, I mean, you're pretty certain that you're not going to be able to avoid hitting Greg if you shoot in there. It's a question of how much you care about Greg's well-being at this stage.
Greg. Too much, damn it. So I'm gonna fire at the other hut. There's got to be one nearby. I'll just fire at that hut.
Okay, then... No, you fire into the hut next door. Well, for a start, give me a rifle roll. It's a fairly broad target, but it's always possible you'll have a weapon malfunction or something.
I rolled a 7 against 80.
Fucking hell. give me a damage roll.
Okay, what was it again? It was 3d6.
Yeah.
3d6 plus 4.
3d6 plus 4 plus maximum damage because it's an impale.
Oh,
so
plus 4.
I believe you'll find the technical term for this number is splat.
Oh, and you rolled, fucking hell, 38 damage. So, I mean, obviously there's going to be a bit of spray because you're shooting it into a hut. But I think it's fair to say you've killed everyone in the hut. You've blown out the wall. It's expanded. The ruined hut pretty much collapses in there. You can hear a few screams of pain and terror from inside, and there's a bit of blood beginning to pool out from under the ruined remains. But no one is running out of that hut now.
I'm going to say, listen, you better give me back Greg while I'm reloading.
So,
or you're all going to be liquefied. You hear me?
I assume his elephant gun is like this giant two-barreled, almost shotgun-like construction monstrosity, but instead of shotgun shells, it's high-caliber rifle rounds. And as these two booms just go off in the general direction of the huts while we're making this plan to sneak up and use explosives... Yeah, I guess Bart's like, what the fuck? And draws his pistol and dives for the nearest cover.
Yes. Over the other side of the camp, there seems to be an apocalypse going on. What are you doing?
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to draw my two pistols and start running in the direction.
Okay. Then, it's going to take you perhaps a round to get over there. Ethan is standing there, reloading his rifle. There's another whistle from inside, and there's a shout of some words that in a language you don't recognise. And with that, the door of the hut smashes open, and Greg comes running out, growling, and there's foam dripping from his huge maw. He's charging up towards you, snarling. What are you doing?
Can I preemptively dodge with advantage?
You can certainly try to dodge. Yeah, it'll be a straight dodge roll.
Oh, can I do an animal handling roll?
You certainly can.
That is the thing.
You get advantage, don't you? You get to roll a bonus dice because of your feet.
And I'll give you an extra bonus die because he is your animal companion, even if he is being turned against you.
So how do I find what my animal handling is on? If that was the,
it doesn't seem to be a skill. So it...
in which case let's have you make a natural world roll for this.
Okay, so that's from 50.
Yeah.
So I'll do.
But with two bonus dice.
Yeah. So I rolled a 30 on my first.
Okay.
19 on my second, and 29 on my third.
Okay, so so your lowest out of that is a 10, effectively, because that's an extreme success. So Greg kind of charges up to you, snarling. He's baying in this kind of, it sounds like a cross between a hound baying and this really sibilant serpentine hiss. His tongue is wiggling wildly out of his mouth, and he bounds up, his mouth open, and then he just drops down at your feet and starts nuzzling his snout into you.
Okay, do I now have time to just shoot back in the hut, because those fuckers with the whistle need to go down?
Okay, so you don't, because this has been your action.
Yeah,
you haven't had a chance to reload. There are a couple of soldiers, or at least people in military uniform, coming out now. One of them is holding in his hand one of those metal devices that you saw before, and is preparing to throw it at you. The other one has a gun.
Oh wow! So I can't do anything because my action's taken. Right?
Exactly.
You got 30 lux spare.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm probably going to try, if anything, to catch the throwing thing and kill the guy with the gun with it.
Anyway. Oh, okay. the throwing thing. Oh gosh. Obviously, in all the chaos and the fact that he's trying to work out what's happened with Greg, even though he's a fairly good shot with this, he runs out, he throws it, and it just goes sailing over your shoulder. Who was running up to try to help? It was Charles, wasn't it? Can you give me a luck roll, Joe?
Oh no!
Probably not.
Oh.
Let me see.
Right in the forehead.
93.
Fantastic. Okay, can you give me a hard con roll?
Hard con roll. I may be able to see that. 26 versus 70. Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, this thing sinks into your flesh. It does 1 point of damage. It basically slams into the fleshy part of your chest just below your shoulder. It cuts through, not too deeply, and yeah, it sparks. I mean, you can feel the electricity jolt through your system, but yeah, you can just kind of hold yourself together with will and stop yourself being paralysed by this as it goes off.
Can I return fire?
You certainly can. The other guy, though, is getting to shoot first because he was a bit more prepared. Let's think who's the biggest target. I think it's going to be Ethan.
Yeah, bring it.
So he is going to try to shoot you with a rifle.
Give me your best shot. Let's see what you got, hot stuff. Before Greg rips you limb from limb.
Oh, gosh. Even though he's quite good with a rifle, he's not 71% good. So, he brings the rifle up, obviously a bit too fast, and shoots wild. The bullet just goes off into the darkness somewhere. He's busy shouting at the same time in this language you don't understand. But somehow, I guess, intuitively, it's the equivalent of something like, "Here, boy!" It's Greg looks around, but he doesn't react.
Greg gives no shit.
Shoot that stupid shit at me. Take this. And I'm gonna fire two shots at the guy that threw the electric dagger at me, and then one shot at the guy that just shot the rifle, if that's okay.
Okay, yep, you're at a penalty die on each one.
No, because I have rapid fire.
Oh, then
so the
give
first shot
rolls.
Is a hit, 69 versus 80. Second shot's a hit, 66 versus 80. And on the guy with the rifle, 63 versus 80. So all hits.
Okay, give me some damage rolls.
Okay, so...
You're a bona fide superhero, swear to God.
So I do 1d10 to plus 2 damage. So the first guy gets hit twice. He takes 17 points of damage from two bullets.
Okay. Yeah, he goes down. His body just jerks, as he stands there, and then he just falls face forward into a pool of spreading blood.
And the second guy takes 4 points of damage as I clip him.
Okay, yeah, the bullet whacks into his arm, and he drops the rifle. He's looking around in panic. In desperation, there's something clutched in his hand, and he brings it up to his lips, and he blows again. And you can hear this whistling sound. It's very similar to the whistle that you heard before. But this one is louder, it's shriller, and it just seems to echo everywhere. You can hear it echoing back from the jungle.
God, that's not good. Ethan, what on earth is that? I'm going to start pointing my guns at Greg. Obviously having no idea what this thing is.
Sanity rule. No.
So, Camilla was running over as well.
Yeah, I'd actually like to...
I am as well.
I'd like to... I'm assuming there's like a cooking cauldron on like a tripod with a fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cooking things in. Like
absolutely.
Soup or stew. I'd like to actually like use that as a tripod with my rifle.
Oh, brilliant.
And have a little cover with the cauldron... and have that as a tripod, and shoot the guy with the whistle.
Okay, then, yeah, you get a bonus die on your rifle roll, so roll away.
Oh, that's not good.
So, 80.
My firearm is 70. I'll use 10 luck. Can I do that?
Yes, you certainly can. So, give me... a damage roll then, so that's going to be 2d6 plus 4.
Yeah.
As I say, at the back of the party I've headed over as well, but definitely sort of cover to cover at the back.
So yeah, I mean, the bullet slams into his head just as he's, you know, he's, you know, the last bit of the whistle just fades off. The bullet slams into his head and he falls backwards, the whistle dropping to the ground. And, you know, for a moment, everything is silent. And then from out in the darkness somewhere, you hear the sound of something huge moving. You hear trees cracking and falling to the ground. And for a moment, the earth just shakes. Should we leave it there for this week?
Oh, my
gosh! That's a fantastic place to leave it. I can't wait to find out. I love that elephant gun there, Ethan. Okay,
it's loaded.
Thank you so much for listening. My name's Joe. If you want to hear more of me, I'm the regular DM, writer and producer of How We Roll podcast. And you can contact me on Twitter at HWR Podcast. You can find us on our Facebook page and Discord channel. Dave.
Hello. Once again, I don't do social media, but I love you all. I love our fans. It does, you know, everything you do for us is so great, in especially fan art of any of my characters. Hint. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I'm Curran. You can catch me on Twitter at HowWeRollCurran or at HowWeRollCurran. I'm also sometimes on Discord. Yeah, pop by.
Cool. Lisa?
Yeah. Hello, I'm Lisa Lee. I am Lisa Bell on Twitter, and you can find me on the Discord as well at SassWielder.
And last, Scott, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, you can also find me on your Discord sometimes under the imaginative name of Scott Dorwood. And you can more generally find me at the website I share with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, which is blasphemoustomes.com, which is also the home of the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast.
Welcome to the end of the show. I was actually wondering the other day how many listeners actually know that I do an outro after the music. Hopefully it's most of you, but sat here at my desk with a 7-week-old baby in my arms, it's kind of hard to imagine you all out there in podcast land. Anyway, for anyone who is listening, we do want to say a huge thank you to all our supporters on Patreon who really keep this show going, and a special mention to Meg and Ethan, who are our newest supporters. Sorry for that sound, as I said, I have a 7-week baby on my shoulder. If you haven't checked out our Patreon, please consider visiting patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast, as even a couple of dollars a month makes a huge difference to us and keeps the show going. Before we go, I want to say a big thank you to BattleBards. If you haven't checked them out already, you can head over to battlebards.com, and there's a whole load of music and sound effects, many of which you've heard in the show. Really recommend checking them out. Our partners at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms also want to give you, our How We Roll listeners, a gold chest. All you need to do is log into the game, enter the shop, and enter this code: YARDRUEDOOZENITE. That is all from us this week. We'll be back probably next week with the next exciting episode.